third checkpoint of the series. Stay tuned for stories and advice from a guy who has most probably been in your position. Or not. But it's going to be fun.
The Computer Science Software Engineering College Courses Review Podcast, where we describe the core courses that all aspiring computer scientists and software engineers should take on their college path. And now your host, Andres Arriaga.
What is up, all of you fidgeting wombats? Welcome back to the CSSE College Courses Review Podcast with your host, well, as the intro said it, it's me. I am now here with you guys to talk about what we've been learning in these past courses in these amazing times of the third semester. Oh my goodness, I loved this semester because it was the rising of, as I like to call it, the rise of the Dark Knight, the rise of the student. So I loved this semester because I came back from a semester that I did horribly, like honestly, terribly. I even got scarred psychologically, and it affects me till this day. But however, that third semester, oh gosh, that was the point where I went all in with my studies. I went back to my original plan of studying and doing everything that I had to do in order to get great grades and amazing friends and amazing experiences and learning a lot. So I love this semester. It has a really special place in my heart personally, but it's also very, very nice to know about these types of subjects like databases and analysis of algorithms specifically. Linear algebra is very important as well. However, it's not pivotal. Well, it is pivotal, but it's not like eye-opening or amazing or mind-blowing. No, no, no. It's just something that is necessary, as we mentioned before, sort of like good muscles for a body of knowledge. So you do have to know about all those subjects. But most importantly, I think that people will be amazed at what you can do and what doors can be opened to you with databases and analysis of algorithms. Let's start with databases, okay? So databases, it was a course that I had to study a lot by myself, do a lot of research. I was basically like the leader of my own team. We were a team of three people. However, one of them didn't really help us that much, and it's sort of like a complicated story there. But what I can tell you is that we managed to do it somehow. My friend from the team who did all the .NET and CSS things, he really helped me a lot. It was really great to know that I had his support, and he has an amazing work ethic, so I really recommend finding people like that. And if you want to know more about this, then go ahead and go to the review of first and second semester as I talk more about this, specifically the second one. But yeah, so it really helped me a lot to know that I could have someone else to rely on while I was getting all of the SQL database things properly in place. And, you know, I had it was like 60 to 70% of the whole project, and I had to do it all by myself because my professor would not teach us anything technical or anything related to the MS SQL environment. He taught a lot of theory and a lot of good practices when you get out in the work environment. But anything that I had to do before that, it wasn't that simple. You just had to look it up yourself, had to find out how to do it, and implement it accordingly. So that was my life in that third semester. However, that one professor, he became one of my closest professor friends, if that makes any sense. He's a great guy. He's really interesting. He's one unique character. And I loved it. I loved every part of the course, and I really like databases. I think that I understand them. I think that you can do great things with them, and the future relies on those fundamentals of databases because, as you might have seen in the Costa Rican Big Data School, you'll get a lot of what is known as big data. And big data is basically huge amounts of data with volume that can be measured, that means something once you analyze it all together, and guess where it all stores up? databases. Correct. Depends. It depends if it's a non-SQL or a SQL database. But the thing is that you got to understand the fundamentals. And if you do, then you build it on top of that other more sophisticated and advanced knowledge that will let you get things like a data analyst job or a big data curator or something else. But I'm telling you guys, databases are really great in that sense. Also, some other useful tips and advice for databases. Once you get the hang of knowing how to create tables, update them, delete them, you know, the CRUD normal things, put some, you know, dependencies between them, see how you can design it accordingly with the right paradigm in your mind of a database. After you get all of that, then you might as well start store proceduring a lot of different functionalities, because store procedures are what gives the databases such an amazing power at the end of the day, because of them, you can automate processes and you can make things way simpler and easier for everybody else. If you have, for example, a store procedure that updates, I don't know, certain values of certain tables every single month or every single day, and that makes life so much easier, so much automated, you'll be impressed at what you can accomplish with this. Now, at first, store procedures are going to be kind of weird because you will not really get to think that much if it's not a big project. However, if you got a big project with a lot of dependencies between them, you got to be careful about how you do them. And when you do, you're going to feel amazing. You're going to feel like you are the master, the lord and master of databases. And believe me, there's a lot more to learn than that. So that's what I have to tell you in the technical aspect of a database. Really look into non-SQL databases a little bit more, because a lot of the big data environments will need to be used with non-SQL databases, like Cassandra, like Hive, like MongoDB. They can sustain a lot of those things, and they're pretty powerful as well. So really look into them. And by the way, just a small spoiler, we are going to talk about them in Databases 2. Databases 2 is all about database servers and non-SQL databases. Also a little bit of big data, because my professor, well, he was just amazing at his work and kind of crazy as well, but whatever. That is for another time. That would be for databases, I think. It's a really great branch of software engineering. It continues with the same methodology and concepts that you learn in object-oriented programming, and then later on in your programming courses, then you put this into test more with databases. And you get to think of design. Designing. That is a huge part of a software engineer. Designing databases is not the same as designing some other thing. However, it is very similar. It is the relational entity design that you want to get your hands on, because that, and UML of course, because that will later help you out with designing in the designing software course. And of course, we all know that if the design is horrible, then the program will be horrible. And before that, if the requirements are not okay, then everything else is not okay. But that is for another course called the Requirements Software Course. The Software Requirement Course, I'm sorry. So that would be for databases. I'm really happy, really glad that I could talk about them because I love them. Now we're going into analysis of algorithms, guys. This is the course that you take in this semester that has to do with the branch of computer science, as you all may know if you listen to the episode. Now, analysis of algorithms. Goodness gracious, this course was such an amazing course because my professor, he is a huge champion, so to speak, of deep learning and machine learning and AI. So, you know, if you hear all these words and you're like, oh, what does all this mean? How does AI work, and how do analysis of algorithms have to do with that? Well, really get into them, because it's the basic fundamentals of computer science for later on, so you can get more in-depth to other subjects. For example, in analysis of algorithms, you'll learn about backtracking, about decision trees, about graphs, and their most efficient algorithms to connect, delete, destroy, search, and anything that you want to do with all of those structures. By the way, go look at the data structure scores if you don't know anything about this. So those algorithms are the most efficient to handle certain situations. You've got to know that as a computer scientist, because your job is to make things more efficient and get useful conclusions from the data that you're putting into those algorithms. So bear that in mind, because in the artificial intelligence course, you will need a lot of analysis of algorithms if you really want to get everything out of that course. Because AI, at its core, is putting into practice all of that you learn in analysis of algorithms and other things as well, but in a real environment where you want to get real results. And that's why it's very important, as I have always said, get the fundamentals down right, and then everything else will be much easier. You can build on top of that. But if you don't get the fundamentals right, you'll have a hard time learning what you didn't right when you have to put it into practice. So that's my advice number one with this course. Really take advantage of it, guys. It's an amazing course. It's so eye-opening. It's like you almost want to shout out Eureka. It's so nice. So that's an analysis of algorithms course. Then a little bit more about it, it would be that my advice for technicalities, it would be really just get down to business with programming, okay? If you don't know how to program correctly, then you will have sort of a hard time with this one. If you don't know your data structures, you are completely lost here, I must tell you. Because in analysis of algorithms, as I just mentioned, you put into practice some algorithms and their efficiency analysis with the knowledge that you already have from the data structure scores. That means that you have a data structure. It can be complicated, it can be simple, however, I don't think it'll be simple, and you have to run some algorithms with that thing, and the data that you use is usually not small. It's a lot of data for some data structure, so you really have to get those fundamentals down, and it's not that hard if you think about it. Like, data structures are not hard, you just have to get to know them, get your hands dirty, program some stuff, see it running, that's very important, see it running and functioning, and then you'll get this sense of security and mastery of your data structures and programming in general. That's my advice and technicalities. And my advice for, you know, maybe work environments or social environments, it would be to really communicate with the professor and with others correctly, because if you do that, then a huge part of being a scientist is to be able to communicate your work, communicate your effort and your different findings with other people, because you never know what others have to tell you. You never know what if they already did what you were doing and they can save you up a lot of stress and a lot of work, or you never know when you will be able to give them something of value and help them out, you know, rather than they helping you out. But communicating is always good. It's always really amazing to do in your own space of work, in your own team, and with other teams. Now, if it's a competition, well, that's a different story. But apart from that, it's very important to be communicating. I communicated a lot with my team in the analysis of algorithms class, and we did great. We did amazingly. We distributed the responsibilities to each one of us, and at the end, it all worked out pretty well. And we all learned. That is the most important thing. Please learn. If you are going to be handling a certain piece of your project, make sure you know what the others are doing. Make sure that they tell you about their problems, that you can help them out, think about solutions and things of that sort, because that way you get to learn what they're learning, even a little bit. But if you are just oblivious to what they're doing, that is the real screw up of the year. You don't do that, and you will not get anything out of that except failure at some point. Okay, that is my social sort of normal advice there. And regarding linear algebra, well, I can pretty much just say very little about linear algebra. And it's because it's not my area of interest. However, it is necessary for an engineer. It doesn't really have to be a computer scientist or a software engineer, just an engineer in general. And I'm not allegating that software engineers are real engineers or that computer scientists are real engineers, because the problematic characteristic there is that we don't take physics. But that is for another time. I don't really care if we have the word engineer in our title. What I do care is that mathematics are very important, and fundamentals, as we just mentioned again and again, are very important. Now, the linear algebra comes to strengthen all of those mathematical concepts and give you more tools and more expertise at the time that you need them. Now, will you need them? That's a question for another time, because it depends. It depends if you're going to be working with computer graphics or computer vision or control structures. Then you will need them a lot in those cases. Just a computer science research, I don't know, maybe writing thesis papers, writing normal research papers, then yeah, please go into that so that you don't mess up and it does not cost you all of your career and all of your findings and everything. But if you're just going to be working as a developer, as a junior, then middle, then senior developer, and you just don't really care about the researching aspects of computer science or, you know, more technically computeristic scientific world of computation, then don't worry. I mean, it's not gonna, like, kick you in the butt. However, I will tell you that it is pretty interesting because you get to know how things and structures that you use every day, how they interact, how they are defined at its core with pure mathematics and pure logic. As you might have heard in the episode of linear algebra, it comes to be as a second discrete mathematics. However, this is always debatable, but that's how I saw it, you know? But it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. Apart from that, you know, same advice that applies for all the other mathematic courses. Study a lot for the first exam. Study a lot for the first exam. It's not going to be that easy. I know that it might seem like you've seen all of this before or that you use them all the time. Believe me, it's not that easy. It's not like they're going to put you a piece of cake right in front of you. No, no, no. I mean, like, they're going to make things hard and tricky. If I could give a characteristic to the linear algebra tests, it would be tricky. They want you to mess up and they'll do it very cleverly. So study a lot for the first exam. Don't underestimate it. Do the same for the second one. And for the third one, when you're gonna have to do linear transformations, which are a little rough sometimes, you'll have way more peace of mind because you won't be stressed and you won't be pushed or pressured into getting straight A's at the end, you know, because you did all that work beforehand when you didn't have that much work, you know, at the beginning of the semester. That would be for linear algebra. However, I think that we can define some very macro and deep concepts from each one of these courses. The first one in databases, it would be my concept of entity relation design or relational entity design, however you want to look at it. That is very important. For a software engineer, you will have to use that all the time. You have to see that. You will have to understand that. And if you implement that with a database, that is a great help. It's a pretty awesome exercise, and it'll bear a lot of fruits later on. If you think about it, databases are used everywhere, you know, like mobile apps. Where do you think everything's stored? Well, probably a SQL database if it's Android or something else. You know, web pages, where do you think all the information of users is stored? Where do you think everything goes? You know, we need memory. We need to remember things that are important for us and derive cool conclusions from that that can help us later on to make our business or our life better. Databases are very, very important. So really learn them correctly. Then in analysis of algorithms, I think that the thing that you could get out of is understand data structures and understand that if you implement an algorithm that uses data structures and you can determine if that algorithm is more efficient than another one, then you've got a pretty good idea of the course. And for later on, be sure to know how to write a research paper if you really want to get into computer science, because you don't know how hard it is following a bunch of guidelines and following a bunch of good practices that have to do with writing them. I've written like 4 till this point, something like that. So I'm pretty well acquainted with them, and I can tell you that at first it wasn't that easy, but later on, it gets easier. just get your hands dirty with that, you know? A huge part of computer science is just getting your hands dirty, and software engineering as well. If you don't put things into practice and you just know the theory behind it all, it's not going to be that great of a deal when you actually have to do it in real life, and you get... and they give you money to do that because it's your job. So, you know, better get your hands dirty right now. There's no money in between, you know, at least directly. So that later on, you will be confident. You'll have the security to say that, yeah, I have done this and I know what this is all about. So therefore, I am the man suited for this job. Or the woman suited for the job. just wanted to say that. And thank you very much, guys, for everything that you have been doing. All the listening, all the support, all the love. I know that you guys might not be able to communicate very well, maybe because of the platform, you know, the podcasting platform is not very great. But I do want to say something. For all the Spotify listeners out there, thank you very much. The number one source of listens that we've got are from Spotify. The second biggest one, it would have to be between two platforms. I'm not very sure because Anchor does not let me see which one exactly is it coming from, but it's between Radio Public and Breaker. So those two platforms. If you guys are from any of those three platforms that I just mentioned, Spotify, Breaker, or Radio Public, thank you very much because you conformed almost like 50 to 60% of all the listens that I've got, maybe even more. And for all the other ones out there, I appreciate so much your listening, because that means that there are people in not so common platforms that do want to listen to this. And if you can just continue listening to this and tell other people about it, I would really appreciate it. I'll make you valuable content. You can even message me to talk about something that you want to hear or something that you have questions with, whatever it is. I am here to help and I'm here to give you content. So actually just text me or just send me anything, because I will do it for sure. Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate all the time and all the love you've been sending. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. Have an amazing week.